It's good to be back again here in the church. Kathy and I are decided to come up to the church today. And as I was saying, we know that all of us know that the church is not a building. The church is people. We're the body of Christ that make up the church. But there was just something that I... Well, both of us felt that it would be good to come up here to begin to just as a symbol, as a look forward to the time that we're going to be able to be back together in a more deeper fellowship. It's wonderful. We have the Zoom, and both of Kathy and I appreciate that. But there's nothing like looking it right into people's eyes, to touching and hugging and being able to talk face to face. So we're looking forward to that day, whenever that day is going to be. Yeah. With all the things that are happening in this life, you know, and especially now we're in a time of stress, I would say. It's good to reflect and not get too caught up in the things of this life. The message today, the title for the message is the God of comfort. I'm going to talk about that, and this came about because of the whole concept of what mothers really do. They really are a source of comfort to the children. And there was a scripture in Isaiah 66:13. It says, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. And when I think of this, the first thought that came to my mind was after Libby was born, and she would wake up and she would be crying, and Kathy would pick her up and hold her in her arms and talk to her softly, and she would sing a lullaby, and just that sweetness, that wonderful care, the consoling aspect, to soothe the child from whatever was bothering. So, you know, I think that God wants to just speak that to us today, that with all the craziness of this world, for us to just allow him to hold us in his arms. Let him just rub our backs, speak to us, hold us. That whole concept of comfort means to console, to bring near, to hold near. So that's a wonderful thing. When I think of that, these are some scriptures I wanted you to be given today. Let's see if I can find them. In Psalm 94, excuse me, 93:19, it says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I've got so many things that race around in my head. I'm sure it does for you. I'm sure that what happens a lot, we get caught up with thoughts and emotions, and things just well up and overtake our minds, and we're worried about this and angry about that. And there's many things that if we allow ourselves to, and especially in this season that we're in right now, that we can get overwhelmed by all of that. But God is there, and he's there to comfort us. He's there to hold us and to bring us through. So my first place that I go to in the scriptures is Psalm 23. So I'm going to read all of it, but it's especially verse 4 that talks about comfort. But it says this. I'm going to read the whole Psalm 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now take this, and you know, all the thoughts that can consume us, let's think about this. Let's get our attention on what this psalm is saying. And here's David saying, the Lord is his shepherd, and he will not want. The Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of those words are just so comforting to me. It settles my soul. It gets me focused on Christ. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were used to guide, the sheep to where they were supposed to go. They were used for protection against any intruders. And, surely what comfort that we can get out of that, there's been so many times where I've seen the hand of the Lord protect me in different situations, guide me. I'd start to go down the wrong path, and he would, a thought would come into my mind that I knew it was coming from God, and he redirected my thought pattern and really helped me out. And, you know, it's comforting, isn't it, to know that God is there for us. We can't see him, but he's there, and we know it, and we see it in those particular times. Sometimes things are so caught up, you know, it's like a baby. Give an example. The places that I most see this happen is in Walmart or some store. A woman's with her baby, and the baby starts crying, the woman usually needs to pick the baby up and hold it and bring it near to her. And sometimes the baby calms down, but you know, babies sometimes can't be comforted. Because they're so focused on whatever it might be that's bothering the child. This happens to us, doesn't it? We can not be comforted by God when he's there, to comfort us, to supply, all our needs, sometimes we don't even allow him to. So I just want us to remember today, God is a God of comfort, and he's there for us, and he always has what we need. He is our shepherd, and we shall not want. And even if we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear. The Lord is with us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalm 119. I'm going to go to that. I'm just going to just go down through some scriptures here and just talk about comfort. Psalm 119, verses 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. And I see in this, you know, there's lots of promises personal promises that God has spoken to us, promises that are in the Word of God. And those promises really help us out and can comfort us in times of affliction, in times of doubt, in times of misunderstanding what's going on in our life, or why isn't this happening for that person over there. Knowing that He has those promises and He is a faithful God, as was mentioned earlier this morning. So this is what is our comfort in our affliction. His word, His promises. I'm going to jump up to the New Testament. We'll go to Matthew 5. And Matthew 5 is talking about all the, this is the Beatitudes, and talks about all the things where people are blessed. And one of those is, let's see, Matthew 5:4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And in asking the Lord about this, I really think that this mourning is that deep cry within us to be more like Him, to cry out for that purging process, that process where God's fire works in us and gets the dross out of us so that we can be something better than who we are. And I think that there's comfort that comes from God to us outside of all that we do when we have a heart. Steve talked about heart the other week, you know, having that right kind of heart that yearns for that mourns to be released from the shackles of the sins that so easily beset us. And there's a comfort that comes from God in that, that I don't think we even notice a lot of the time. Okay. All right. We're going to go now to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, two verses there, verses 4 and 5 say this. Or whatsoever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So this is talking about that we can get comfort through the reading of the word, through the scriptures. How many times is it that we go to the scriptures when we're confused, when we're upset, when things don't seem right? I don't know how many times I've been awakened at night and something's troubling me deep inside. I don't even know what it's about. Sometimes I'm not feeling good in my body, and I'll get up, and the only thing I really do, the first thing and only thing that I really do is I go out into the living room where my Bible is. I pray and I open my Bible and the Lord directs me and I read. And those words are always, always comforting to me because He is a God of comfort. The scriptures are what can comfort us. Yeah, He pulls us close. He brings us close to Him. He holds us like a mom holding her baby child. He's that kind of loving father. And so it talks about patience. Wow. You know, I used to think back when I was in my 20s and when I first came up and I was first started teaching up in Gorham, New Hampshire, I thought I was a very, very patient person. Over the years, I've seen where I wasn't that patient at all, but I thought I was, you know, and these things, the scriptures kind of point things out to us. That verse 5 says, now the God of patience and consolation, which means comfort, God of comfort, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. So a very wonderful scripture this is, I feel. And also, really, God is there. The Holy Spirit is described as the comforter. Mm. He comes alongside us. He holds us. He supports us. He encourages us. He gives, he brings truth to us when we're undecided about things, when we don't understand something, when so many lies are being thrown about in this life, to be able to really understand what is true and what is not. I'm going to conclude this and after a couple more scriptures with that very concept, which is especially true at the end of the age. We know that at the end of the age, there's going to be a tremendous amount of deception in all areas of life. So that was another one for us. The scriptures give us that comfort. I'm not going to turn to it, but I'll just because it's a short verse. It's 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. It talks about being comforted by what comes from prophecy, which is really in this application would mean preaching. I'll tell you, the last numbers of weeks, what Reggie said last week, comforted me. It was the exact word coming from a man that is anointed by God. The same thing with Steve and John before that. The things that come under the anointing of God through preaching, it is so comforting to us. And I know that you can all identify, no matter who it is, if it's coming from God, if it's being moved on by the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and he gives us those words of encouragement that we need at the right time. We've talked about this so much. It's that rhema word. It's the thing that we need right now. And I really needed what Reggie had to say last week. I was really at a funny little place in my walk last week, and what he had to say really just got me right back on track again. So with everybody, it's been fantastic. Here's something else that is supposed to be a comfort to us. If you would go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay, everybody there? Usually I hear people say yes, but I'll just take it that you're there. All right, starting in verse 13 through 18, this is the description of what we call the rapture. And the concluding verse there is where I'm going to. But just to refresh our minds, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that have died in Christ, that you don't sorrow, even as others who don't have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which have died in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not come before them that have fallen to sleep, or in this case it means Christian death. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There's great comfort in knowing there's something better out ahead, that though we have to go through what we have to go through in this life, there's something better coming. And that is encouraging. It's comforting. Whether we're talking about the rapture of the church, if we're talking about the coming of Christ to end this rotten, stinking age that we're living in, the kingdom of God that's going to be set up after that, we have a lot to look forward to, and we can be comforted. And the scripture says that the meek inherit the earth. The wicked will be done away with. We'll look for them, but we're not going to find them, because that's what God is going to take care of all of the rotten things that are going on in this age. They are going to be put away. And that's encouraging and comforting to me.
Yes.
Amen. Two more scriptures here. I want you to turn to the next book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to start where I'm going to read in this in verse 13, but I want to just tell you what it says before that. It's describing the Antichrist's deception and the power of Satan in the world. It's talking about how he who restrains wickedness and restrains iniquity is going to be taken away, and then iniquity is going to come to its fullness in the world. And it's not like it's just from one day to the next. It's over a period of time, but it grows and it deepens this iniquity that's coming on the world. And so with that as the backdrop, this is what he says, starting in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Therefore, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if I just stop there,
yeah.
You know, thank you, dear God. Thank you. You deserve all the worship and everything that we have and think and do. We praise you, Jesus, for who you are and what you've done. Then he goes on in verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. In other words, persevere. Persevere through the hardships. Let's not give up. Let's stand fast. Let God use this to prepare our hearts and steel our hearts to choose him no matter what. That no matter what comes along, we're holding on tight to our Father,
yes,
who is a comfort to us. You know, story in Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were told that they had to bow down to the idol, or otherwise they were going to get thrown into a fiery furnace. And their response was, well, you know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to listen to what you have to say, O king, because God can save us if he wants to. But if he doesn't save us, we're still not going to bow down. It isn't going to matter. We are people that are standing fast, holding strong, and staying committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to him and his coming kingdom, in Jesus' name. He says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our letter. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even the Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Hallelujah. I just reading these scriptures about comfort is comforting.
Yeah.
It brings that that soothing, that realization that everything's in God's hands, though everything looks like it's falling apart, and everything has to be that's going to be shaken is going to shake, and where I need areas of my life that need to be shaken, and they're going to be shaken, I can still relax through this whole process because I know in whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep which I've committed to Him unto that day. And I praise God for that. And it's such a comfort. I'm going to finish up with one last thing that really brings comfort that I felt I needed to also bring into this message. And that's all the way back, Old Testament, last book of the Old Testament, book of Malachi, or the book right before Matthew, book of Malachi. Chapter 3, starting in verse 16, I'm going to read the rest of that chapter and the first few verses of chapter 4. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and they that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then you will return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that does not serve him. You know, with all of the craziness and all of the deception and the lies that the enemy's bringing on every level of society, we can feel overwhelmed and say, how can we know what's true and what isn't true? How do we know if this person or that person, who's telling the truth here? We are going to be able to know. And little by little, the Lord sheds His light on situations and proves who is speaking truth and who isn't. That's a great thing. And then continuing with this toward the end of the age here, we're in perilous times. We're in times of stress. A couple Sundays ago, I brought that message about for everything there's a season. We're in a season of stress, and it has to happen here at the end because the restraining power is being taken away, and iniquity is coming more and more to us. So it's a fire. It's horrible. And chapter 4 says this: For behold, the day comes that will burn like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all that do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day that comes will burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you who fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, and healing in His wings. And you will go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, being treated, calves of the stall, it's a kind of an idiom for those favorite animals in the barn. And they're happy, and they're treated well, and they're comforted, and they're fed well. This is for us. And you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I will do this, says the Lord of hosts. So this whole, and I think that back in chapter 3, it's talking about our fellowship. I get so much comfort talking to people of like belief, like faith. It settles me. It encourages me. It's a example when I see it, what I see in others to go, I need more of that. That person has more of the Lord in that area. And God, I see that in them, and I see my lack, and God help me. And it encourages me, and I get comfort because I believe in God to work in me those things that I ask Him to that I need, and He's going to do it. So, You know, this whole thing of being consoled, to be comforted by the Lord. Let's just pray. I'm going to end the message right here. We can be, Lord, we can be consoled in knowing your love and your protection, your many promises. We're consoled, Lord, knowing that there's something better that awaits us, that you're always there for us, that you protect us. Help us, Lord, to persevere and to stand fast through all of the ugliness of this age, that we would be there. We're comforted knowing, Lord, that you have great and grand things for us ahead, that we're going to be jewels of yours. You love us, Lord. You have great things ahead. So we are comforted. Even during these perilous times, you are the God of comfort, and we embrace you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.